It's the 1st of May, 2025, and you're listening to Weekly Reveille here on Sun Sounds of Arizona. This is your volunteer reader and flying staff, bringing you news of interest to our veterans and military community here in Arizona. Today we have items from Stripes.com, as well as our other military news websites, our veteran service organizations, their websites and publications, as well as the Veterans Administration, news.va.gov, and our Arizona Veterans Administration offices. We're going to start with this item from Stripes.com. Veterans mark 50 years since fall of Saigon with ceremony at Vietnam Memorial. This is by Eric Kane of Stars and Stripes from the 24th of April, Washington. Dozens of Vietnam veterans and their supporters gathered Thursday afternoon at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial to commemorate the 50th anniversary of the fall of Saigon, which marked the end of the Vietnam War. The ceremony began with opening remarks and a procession led by the Joint Armed Forces Color Guard of the Military District of Washington and a rendition of the national anthem. "We're here together, brothers and sisters in arms, with friends and people who are a part of our lives," said Jack McManus, president of the Vietnam Veterans of America. McManus also recognized the children of troops killed in Vietnam who attended the ceremony. "They've endured the pain of 50 years for a war this country wouldn't recognize their parents' service in," he said. VVA member Grant Coates also spoke and emphasized the importance of remembrance. "We, as Vietnam veterans, have an obligation to never forget. We must keep the stories of the dead alive, keeping their existence current," he said. "Reflecting back over 50 years since the end of the Vietnam War, we never forget. It's still raw." The keynote speaker was Paris Davis, Medal of Honor recipient. "The fight we had and the things we did, we hope they made America a little bit better," Davis said. "You're here to share the birthday, the 50th birthday of what we did and where we did it." Following the speeches, veterans made their way to the memorial to lay three wreaths. Standing at attention before the wall, they listened in silence as a military bugler played taps, bringing the ceremony to a close. And that's Veterans Mark 50 years since the fall of Saigon, with ceremony at Vietnam Memorial. As many of you probably know, I am a Vietnam veteran, as is my brother and a number of my brothers-in-law. And this week, my brother-in-law, my oldest brother-in-law, had the opportunity to take an honor flight from San Diego and spend 3 days in Washington, D.C., attending various commemorations and the memorials. If you have an opportunity to take one of these veterans honor flights, it's quite a great deal. They do quite a little bit. He was accompanied by his daughter, and it was very meaningful. He enjoyed it quite a bit, and just really a well worth the time and the effort to do that. Well, let's move on, and we have another item here on aging veteran population places more demand on state veterans' homes. This is by Linda F. Hershey, Stars and Stripes, from the 29th of April, Washington. The national network of more than 150 state veterans' homes would benefit from greater oversight from the Department of Veterans Affairs and follow-up checks to ensure compliance with annual VA inspections, a government watchdog agency said Tuesday. The multiple layers of state and federal compliance reviews in place for state veterans' homes and their effectiveness were examined at a hearing of the House Veterans Affairs Committee subpanel on health oversight, which included recommendations from the Government Accountability Office for improving compliance. Reviews included inspections by the VA, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, and many of the states where the homes are located. Sharon Silas, Director of Healthcare at the Government Accountability Office, testified about a newly published GAO report on opportunities for the VA to improve oversight of state veterans' homes. The VA paid about $1.5 billion for care at state veterans' homes in fiscal 2023. The agency offsets some costs for care for eligible veterans. There are more than 30,000 beds at state veterans' homes, accounting for half of the VA-supported long-term care for veterans. We found that VA officials did not have a process for following up with state veterans' homes about accepted corrective action plans, which are required for all deficiencies cited during a VA inspection, Silas said. State veterans' homes care for an older population, 85 and older, compared to other nursing homes for veterans, according to the National Association of State Veterans Homes. Representative Marionette Miller-Weeks, Republican of Iowa, chairwoman of the subcommittee, said, "There's an increasing demand on state veterans' homes as more Vietnam War veterans require institutional care. About 50% of veterans in the U.S. are 65 or older, according to the census, but the largest group of older veterans, 5.5 million, served during the Vietnam era. The homes offer lower-cost care compared to the private sector, according to the State Veterans Homes Association. The rate for skilled nursing care at a state veterans home is $262 a day compared to $424 in private sector nursing homes. It's clear that the state home program provides significant value to VA in meeting their obligations to the men and women who served," said Ed Harries, the association president. To receive reimbursements from the VA, the homes must meet the standards for quality of care, infection control, and other areas, according to the GAO. Homes that fail to meet the standards can be cited for deficiencies. The VA provides per diem payments and offers grants to homes for developing, remodeling, and modifying veterans' homes. Studies and statistics continue to indicate that state veterans' homes, on average, are safer, have higher quality ratings, and receive fewer substantiated complaints and citations compared to community nursing homes, Harries said. Miller Meeks asked whether the state veterans' homes could benefit from construction grants to develop on-site adult daycare facilities. Harries says he sees the need for adult daycare. Under a medical model with skilled nurses on staff, adult daycare could offer daily assessments of residents and remove the isolation that can lead to depression and suicide among elderly veterans, he said. Representative Julia Brownlee, Democrat of California, asked how significant Medicaid cuts considered by President Donald Trump's administration would affect operations at state veterans' homes. House Republicans discussed a plan to scale back federal funds for Medicaid in a closed-door meeting late Monday, Politico reported. "That could have a big impact on us," Harries said, adding about 75% of residents at state veterans' home receive assistance from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, which is a joint federal and state program providing health coverage for the elderly as well as for low-income individuals, families, and certain groups. The GAO report also recommended the VA strengthen oversight of the nursing homes to ensure standards for quality are met. The VA contracts with private vendors to handle annual inspections. The VA also conducts for-cause inspections after a complaint about a facility is made or the facility itself files a report. The Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, which also conducts its own inspections, has a range of penalties for noncompliance, according to the GAO report. These include fines levied for each day of noncompliance with standards, denial of payment for newly admitted veterans, mandated staff training, and on-site monitoring. The VA can opt to withhold per diem payments to state veterans' homes with serious problems, according to the GAO. But having a range of enforcement actions could help VA tailor its enforcement for the scope and severity of deficiencies identified, Silas said. That's aging veteran population places more demand on state veterans' homes. Our next article is from the Associated Press and is reported on Stripes.com by Mark Thiessen and Julie Watson. For some Americans, the end of the Vietnam War after Saigon fell 50 years ago is still deeply felt. Anchorage, Alaska. The Vietnam War greatly impacted U.S. society from the passage of the War Powers Resolution that restricts the president's ability to send troops into extended combat without congressional approval to the cementing of college campuses as centers of student activism. Millions of U.S. troops fought in Vietnam. For some Americans, the war that effectively ended with the fall of Saigon 50 years ago, Wednesday, on April 30, 1975, continues to shape their lives. They include a woman dedicated to recovering her father's remains after the Navy plane he piloted disappeared over Vietnam's Gulf of Tonkin, a Vietnam veteran who was heckled like scores of other troops when he returned home and now assists fellow veterans in rural Alaska, and an anti-war movement stalwart who spent decades advocating for free speech after her brother was wounded when Ohio National Guard troops fired into a crowd of protesters at Kent State University. Here are their stories. Still waiting for Dad to return home. 50 years after the fall of Saigon, Jeannie Jacobs Huffman has not lost hope of bringing her father home. Huffman was only 5 months old when her father, Navy Commander Edward J. Jacobs, Jr., was reported missing in action after the plane he was piloting to photograph enemy targets vanished in 1967 over the Gulf of Tonkin off the coast of North Vietnam. Huffman has dedicated her life to finding the plane and recovering his remains and those of his true crew members. He also serves on the board of directors of Mission POW/MIA, a nonprofit group dedicated to finding unaccounted Americans from past conflicts. "It's a lot of missing, you know, a huge void in my life," she said, breaking into tears. A professional photographer, Huffman has made a poster featuring the faces of the 1,573 missing service members from Vietnam. "After this many years, we should never leave anyone behind," she said. A year ago, she visited the Gulf of Tonkin through a trip with the United States Institute of Peace, a nonprofit that promotes education and research on conflicts to prevent future wars. The group's translator, who was from North Vietnam and also lost family members in the war, walked with Huffman into the water. Holding hands, they both cried, sharing their grief. "So, that was the closest I've been to him in 58 years, Huffman said of her father. She's pushing for the Defense POW/MIA accounting agency to conduct an underwater search operation next year in hope of recovering the plane. The U.S. Department of Defense agency is responsible for recovering and identifying service members listed as missing in action or prisoners of war. He deserves to be brought back home, she said, even if it's just a bone or a dog tag. Even the tangible things like a dog tag or a piece of his plane mean a lot to me because I don't have anything else. Finding salvation after so many decades. For George Bennett, the road to sobriety and mental health continued long after flying home through San Francisco in 1968, where sneering protesters met returning soldiers in the terminal. Someone yelled out, "Baby killer." Another spit at them. He and his fellow soldiers were turned away from one airport restaurant. Only later did he realize how much Vietnam had changed him because the war went against the strict sense of values and indigenous practices instilled by his parents. A member of Alaska's Tlingit tribe, Bennett said, "I would go get my beer and come home, just drink beer and do nothing. I think part of it was the fact that I was ashamed and guilty because I was part of the atrocity that occurred in Vietnam. I feel that I violated the value and some of our cultural norms, and it made me want to run." And he did, from bar to bar and job to job. Finally, he wound up receiving help for alcoholism and post-traumatic stress disorder. It's taken him 30 years to feel better, largely because of the support of Mary, his wife of 55 years. She insisted they move to the southeast Alaska city of Sitka, where he's integrated back into his native Tlingit culture. He's now Alaska's sole rural veteran liaison, helping veterans secure benefits in the military's healthcare system. "I really had to find my spiritual way again," he said. "It took me a while to get there, but here I am." Kent State University protester sees lessons for today. Chick Canfora still becomes emotional when she talks about the fall of Saigon. Canfora was part of an anti-war protest at Kent State University in 1970 when Ohio National Guard troops fired into the crowd, killing 4 fellow students and wounding 9 others, including her brother. The bullets sent Canfora diving for cover. She believes the protest helped galvanize public opinion that would hasten the withdrawal of U.S. troops and ultimately lead to the fall of Saigon and the war's demise. A decade ago, Canfora visited the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Wall in Washington and was overcome at seeing how the number of names of the fallen dwindled after 1970. "That was the first time it really hit me, the impact of the anti-war movement, and so it's particularly meaningful for me this year," she said, choking up. Canfora, who teaches journalism at Kent State, has spent her life sharing what she experienced. She said the lessons learned are more relevant than ever amid the Trump administration's crackdown on student protesters, fears of deportation for international students, and what critics describe as unprecedented attacks on campus speech. She said she sees echoes of the past when then-Ohio Governor James Rhodes, who sent in the National Guard, called the Kent State demonstrators the worst type of people that we harbor in America. "I was too young and too naive to recognize the danger of such inflammatory rhetoric because, in essence, all of these leaders in our country were putting targets on the backs of American college students who have historically served as the conscience of America," Canfora said. "I think students today are going through that same metamorphosis of awareness that I did in 1970. And that's, for some Americans, the end of the Vietnam War after Saigon fell 50 years ago is still deeply felt. We've had a number of articles on the 6888, the all-black female unit that basically recovered the male in the European theater in World War II. In addition to mentioning the movie that's available on Netflix, which is quite good, we have this item from Stripes.com. All-black Women's Army Corps unit led by Ohio woman in World War II to receive Congressional Gold Medal. This is by Sabrina Eaton, and it's from Cleveland.com from April 28th, Washington. An all-female All-Black Women's Army Corps Battalion, who cleared out a 17-million-piece backlog of U.S. service member mail in World War II, will receive the Congressional Gold Medal on Tuesday. The children of Lieutenant Colonel Charity Early of Dayton, Ohio, who commanded the 6888th Central Postal Directory Battalion, are scheduled to accept the award on its behalf in a ceremony at the U.S. Capitol's Emancipation Hall. Early died in 2002 at age 83. Congress members who sought the medal for the 850-member battalion who expedited delivery of mail and packages to frontline soldiers say just 2 of them are alive today. Their motto, "No mail, low morale," encouraged them as they faced these insurmountable odds, said a January letter from a group of U.S. senators that urged House Speaker Mike Johnson to quickly schedule a ceremony. Those still surviving ought not to wait any longer to receive this long-awaited recognition they rightfully deserve. President Biden signed legislation that authorized the medal in 2022. A Netflix movie about the battalion called 6888, directed by Tyler Perry, was released last year. According to the National Archives, members of the battalion split into 3 shifts, working 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to clear the mail backlog. They handled more than 65,000 pieces of mail each shift and were able to clear a backlog in Britain in just 3 months. After that, they were sent to France to help with another mail backlog, which they were able to clear up by October 1945. Members of the 6888 were awarded the European African Middle Eastern Campaign Medal and the World War II Victory Medal before the unit disbanded in 1946. Legislation to award them a Congressional Gold Medal was signed by President Joe Biden in 2022. U.S. Representatives Mike Turner, a Dayton Republican, and Joyce Beatty, a Columbus Democrat, last year asked the U.S. Postal Service to issue a postage stamp honoring Early. Their letter said that after World War II, Early completed her master's degree in vocational psychology at The Ohio State University and went on to raise a family with her husband, Stanley A. Early, Jr., in Dayton. In addition to being a trailblazer in the military, they said she was a dedicated community leader who in 1982 founded the Black Leadership Development Program. A statement from Beatty described Early as her lifelong friend and mentor. For those unsung heroes of the 6888th paved the way for female service members for generations to come, their letter said. And that's All Black Women's Army Corps unit led by Ohio women in World War II to receive Congressional Gold Medal. We have another article from the Associated Press reported on Stripes.com from the 30th of April. The Vietnam War ended 50 years ago, but the battle with Agent Orange continues. This is by Anuruddha Ghosal and Hao Dinh. Da Nang, Vietnam. The Vietnam War ended on April 30, 1975, when the South Vietnamese capital of Saigon fell to communist forces. But millions of people still face daily battles with its chemical legacy. Nguyen Tan Hai, 34, is one of millions with disabilities linked to Agent Orange. Born with severe developmental challenges, it's a struggle for him to complete tasks others take for granted. Buttoning the blue shirt he wears to a special school in Da Nang, practicing the alphabet, drawing shapes, or forming simple sentences. Hai grew up in Da Nang, the site of a U.S. airbase where departing troops left behind huge amounts of Agent Orange that have lingered for decades, leaching into food and water supplies in areas like Hai's village and affecting generations of residents. Across Vietnam, U.S. forces sprayed 19 million gallons of defoliants during the war to strip the enemy's cover. More than half was Agent Orange, a blend of herbicides. Agent Orange was laced with dioxin, a type of chemical linked to cancer, birth defects, and lasting environmental damage. Today, 3 million people, including many children, still suffer serious health issues associated with exposure to it. Vietnam has spent decades cleaning up the toxic legacy of the war, in part funded by belated U.S. assistance, but the work is far from complete. Now, millions in Vietnam are worried that the U.S. may abandon Agent Orange cleanup as President Donald Trump slashes foreign aid. Decades of contamination. When the war ended, the U.S. turned its back on Vietnam, eager to turn the page on a painful chapter in its history. But Vietnam was left with dozens of dioxin hotspots spread across 58 of its 63 provinces. Vietnam says the health impacts last generations, threatening the children, grandchildren, and even great-great-grandchildren of people exposed to the chemicals, with health complications ranging from cancer to birth defects that affects the spine and nervous system. But the science about the human health impact, both to those exposed to Agent Orange and the generations that follow, remains unsettled. This is partly because when the two countries finally started working together in 2006, they focused on finding dioxin in the environment and cleaning it instead of studying the still contentious topic of its impact on human health, said Charles Bailey, co-author of the book From Enemies to Partners, Vietnam, the U.S., and Agent Orange. The science of causality is still incomplete, said Bailey. Vietnam identifies Agent Orange victims by checking family history, where they lived, and a list of health problems linked to the poison. And Hai's disabilities were very likely linked to the spraying of the defoliant, added Bailey. The 34-year-old dreams of becoming a soldier like his grandfather, was unable to leave home for years, waiting alone while his family went out to work. was only 5 years ago that he began attending a special school. "I am happy here because I have many friends," he said. Other students at the school hope to become tailors or makers of incense sticks. The contamination also denuded Vietnam's natural defenses. Nearly half of its mangrove trees, which shield shores from strong storms, were destroyed. Much of its tropical forest was irrevocably damaged, while the herbicide also leached the soil of nutrients in some of Vietnam's most climate-vulnerable areas. A massive cleanup begins. In the decades after the war ended, the recovering country fenced off heavily contaminated sites like Da Nang Airport and began providing support to impacted families. But the U.S. largely ignored growing evidence of health impacts, including on its own veterans, until the mid-2000s, when it began funding cleanup operations in Vietnam. In 1991, the U.S. recognized that certain diseases could be related to exposure to Agent Orange and made veterans who had them eligible for benefits. Since 1991, it has spent over $155 million to aid people with disabilities in areas affected by Agent Orange or littered by unexploded bombs, according to the U.S. State Department. The two countries have also cooperated to recover war dead, with the U.S. aiding Vietnam's search for its own missing. Cleaning Agent Orange is expensive and often dangerous. Heavily polluted soil needs to be unearthed and heated in large ovens to very high temperatures, while less contaminated soil can be buried in secure landfills. Despite years of work, large sites still need to be cleared. In Da Nang, where an airbase was contaminated during storage and transportation of Agent Orange, the U.S. completed a $110 million cleanup in 2018, but an area the size of 10 soccer fields still remains heavily contaminated. Cooperation on war legacy issues also laid a foundation for growing U.S.-Vietnam ties, culminating in 2023 when Vietnam elevated the U.S. to its highest diplomatic status of Comprehensive Strategic Partner. The United States considers Vietnam a key partner in advancing a free and open Indo-Pacific, former U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen said in Vietnam in 2023. Anxiety about aid cuts. But Donald Trump's cuts to USAID stalled key projects in Vietnam, and while many have resumed, doubts remain about U.S. reliability. Vietnam now has to negotiate a new reality where the U.S. president says the country can no longer afford to help other countries. The country can't handle toxic chemicals that still persist without help, said Nguyen Van An, chairman of Association for Victims of Agent Orange in Da Nang. "We always believe that the U.S. government and the manufacturers of this toxic chemical must have the responsibility to support the victims," he said. Said he hoped that any stoppages to ongoing projects due to shifting politics in Washington would be temporary. Insufficient data means that experts can't definitely say when the risk to human health will end, but the more urgent problem is that if the cleanup efforts are interrupted, the now exposed contaminated soil could get into waterways and harm more people. A 10-year project to clear some of the 650,000 cubic yards of dioxin-contaminated soil, enough to fill 40,000 trucks at Benoit Air Base, was launched in 2020. It stopped for a week in March and then restarted. But Bailey, who worked on issues related to the Agent Orange in Vietnam for years, said future USAID funding for the cleanup operation and a $30 million program for people with disabilities was uncertain. With federal cuts to USAID, most staffers in Vietnam are expected to be gone by later this year, leaving nobody to administer funding for remediation programs, even if it's not cut itself. This basically leaves a very large mountain of contaminated soil, only 30% of which has been dealt with, and that is less contaminated, said Bailey. He added that less than half the soil at Benoit had been treated, and much of the remaining soil was heavily contaminated and needed to be treated in an as-yet unbuilt incinerator. Tim Reiser, who was retired Senator Patrick Leahy's foreign policy aide when the Vermont Democrat secured the original funding for Vietnam War remediation projects, and is now a senior advisor to Senator Peter Welch, said, Congress still supports the programs, but it would be hard for them to continue without staff. For more than 30 years, the U.S. and Vietnam have worked together to rebuild relations by dealing with the worst legacies of the war, like Agent Orange, he said. Now the Trump administration is mindlessly shutting everything down with no concern for the impact of their actions on relations with an important partner in the Indo-Pacific. The U.S. State Department said that war legacy projects like clearing dioxin at Benoit or demining operations in central Vietnam remain active and running, adding that it would conduct assessments for the resources needed for their continuation. Chuck Searcy, an American Vietnam War veteran who's worked on humanitarian programs in the country since 1995, said he worries that trust built over years would erode very rapidly. He pointed out that those who benefit from U.S.-funded projects to address war legacies are innocent victims. They've been victimized twice, once by the war and the consequences they've suffered, and now by having the rug pulled out from under them, he said. Associated Press journalist David Riesing in Bangkok contributed to this report, "The Vietnam War ended 50 years ago, but the battle with Agent Orange continues." You're listening to Weekly Reveille here on Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. Remember, you can listen to Weekly Reveille and other Sun Sounds of Arizona programming, either as it streams or at a time of your choosing, by going to the Sun Sounds of Arizona website at sunsounds.org or by downloading the Sun Sounds of Arizona app from the Apple App Store for your iPhone or iPad or the Google Play Store for your Android phone or tablet. And finally, you can listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona streaming on your Amazon Echo or Dot. I just received the May issue of the American Legion magazine. This article struck my eye. A monument to the human-animal bond. In her three decades as an artist, Susan Bahari has sculpted some of the country's most famous service animals, the Marine War Dogs of Guam, President George H.W. Bush's service dog, Sully, and a certain Boston Terrier mix who helped locate, wounded, and capture a German spy in World War I. They're like my children, so it's a little hard to pick a favorite, she says. I can tell you right now, it'd be hard to beat Stubby. The story is very moving, and kids love it too. Bahari's current project, though, is especially close to her heart and her biggest work to date, the National Service Animals Memorial, envisioned as a park-like or plaza setting in the nation's capital. It will pay tribute to the sacrifices and heroic deeds of service animals and their handlers. These animals include dogs, horses, donkeys, mules, homing pigeons, dolphins, sea lions, and others. Throughout the nation's history, they have served as guides and therapy companions, assisted in search and rescue operations, and saved lives in time of war by transporting vital supplies, carrying messages, detecting explosives and poison gas, and tracking enemies. In 2022, the National Capital Memorial Advisory Commission, responsible for approving and citing commemorative works within Washington, D.C., gave unanimous support to a legislation authorizing a service animals memorial, agreeing that the variety of ways in which the animals have aided, comforted, and protected humans is a subject of lasting historical significance to the United States. Bahari plans to tell that story through bronze sculptures, informational plaques, and, in line with most new memorials, a mobile app offering visitors an interactive experience. Animals have a way of bringing us together, she says. The idea is to have a place of honor, education, inspiration, and healing for veterans and anyone who's lost an animal. In the early 1990s, Bill Putney, commander of the Marine Corps 3rd War Dog Platoon in World War II, and a Silver Star recipient, asked Bahari to apply to sculpt the country's first official war dog monument. Always Faithful. A life-size bronze Doberman Pinscher is installed at Naval Base Guam. More recent works include The Pledge, depicting a female soldier and her working dog at the Military Women's Memorial, and Service and Sacrifice, a sculpture of John Duangdara, lead dog handler for Navy SEAL Team 6, and his war dog Bart, both killed in Afghanistan in 2011. Bahari also did sculptural work for a memorial in Pozieres, France, to the 9 million animals that died in World War I. There, something clicked in me, she says. I said, we got to do something like this in the United States, and I started sketching. The National Service Animals Memorial is now in the site selection and fundraising phase. To raise awareness, Bahari wears a purple poppy, the international symbol of remembrance for animals that served. We want everyone to help us make this a treasure for our country we can all enjoy. This article was by Matt Grills, A Monument to the Human-Animal Bond. That's from the May issue of the American Legion magazine. We are going to turn now to the Veterans News Now newsletter from the Phoenix VA healthcare system. And we have a couple of announcements here. The Phoenix VA celebrates Patient Experience Week. The date to come is May the 2nd. It was on the 28th as well. But they're saying join us on April the 30th and May the 2nd this week to help the Phoenix VA celebrate Patient Experience Week 2025. This nationally recognized week is an opportunity to express gratitude for veterans choosing VA for their health care and to spotlight VA employees who are delivering an exceptional patient experience to those we serve. This year's Patient Week theme is Own the Experience, Your Actions Make Experiences, serving as a powerful call to action and a vital reminder that our actions shape the experiences we deliver. We own the experience by showing empathy and understanding, responding to needs, and guiding the journey by clarifying the next steps and setting expectations. Every encounter with veterans, their families, caregivers, and survivors is an opportunity for us to own the experience and showcase I care values and we care behaviors. And the Patient Experience Week, May the 2nd, will feature a Thunderbird High School choir concert, May the 2nd, from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. at the Carl T. Hayden VAMC, VA Medical Center, Starbucks. They also want to remind you about the Phoenix VA Virtual Health Resource Center, and they have dates May the 7th, 14th, 21st, June the 4th, 11th, and 18th, and this will be at the ACC entrance, 3rd Street, Indian School Road, on Wednesdays from 8 a.m. to 12 p.m. Phoenix VA's Virtual Health Resource Center offers technical support to veterans, their family members, and caregivers about all things virtual care. The VHRC staff are there to help you use connected devices such as smartphones, tablets, iPads, and laptops to conveniently connect to high-quality VA care. VHRC staff help veterans use virtual care tools and VA mobile apps. These tools offer care options beyond the traditional office visit. Expanding your access to care is just a few clicks away with the help of the Phoenix VA's Virtual Health Resources Center team. We offer in-person phone, video, and virtual appointments, or you can call them at 602-277-5551. That's 602-277-5551, extension 6680. That resource center, there's also an Office of Connected Care Help Desk. That's available at 866-651-3180, and you can press 1 for veteran, 24 hours, 7 days a week. The Health Resource Center Help Desk is at 877-470-5947, and they're available Monday through Friday, 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. That's Arizona Mountain Standard Time. The My Health eVet help desk is at 877-327-0022. And again, that's Monday through Friday from 5 a.m. to 5 p.m. Arizona Mountain Standard Time. There's also a mobile app that is available for you to use at mobile.va.gov/app/Annie-veterans. And that's for the Annie mobile app at mobile.va.gov/app/Annie-veterans. Annie is a VA text messaging service that empowers veterans to take an active role in their healthcare by sending various self-care reminders. Messages you receive from Annie include medication reminders, tips for lowering stress, diabetes, sleep trouble, managing chronic pain, hearing loss, tinnitus, tobacco cessation, weight management, and much more. Reach out to your care team or contact your VHRC to learn how to get started using Annie. And again, more information, you can search the VA mobile app store, or you can go to that web address I gave you before, mobile.va.gov/app/Annie-veterans in your web browser. They're also conducting a SWCBOC blood drive. And that'll be at the Vitalant bus, and it'll be parked at 9250 West Thomas Road in Phoenix. And for more information or help with scheduling, you can contact Deidra, which is Deidra.Acuna, Acuna, at va.gov. And you can get information, help with scheduling there. And if you have that newsletter, there is a QR code, and you can go to www.vitalant.org. And the blood drive code number is 100-536-09. So that's 100-536-09. I'm sure you can get on the vitalant.org site and search for the Phoenix blood drive information, and you should be able to schedule an appointment if you are interested in doing that. Then we have the Phoenix VA Be Sun Smart Health Promotion event. Join the Phoenix VA for Be Sun Smart Health Promotion event, and that's on May 6th and 7th, 2025, between 8 a.m. and 12 p.m. at the Carl T. Hayden VAMC Ambulatory Care Center, that's the ACC lobby, first floor near the parking garage. They will offer valuable insights into reducing sun exposure, sun smart clothing, proper sunscreen application, skin self-checks, and dry skin relief. Our dermatology nurses will also provide information on scheduling skin checks and how teledermatology services work at the VA. Please note that skin checks or assessments will not be performed at this event. It's solely for health promotion and disease prevention. Information and instructions on scheduling an appointment for skin checks will be available. Don't miss this opportunity to learn how to take care of your skin. Another reminder about the Phoenix VA 19th Annual Creative Arts Festival for 2025. It's the 19th Annual Creative Arts Festival. The event date, Thursday, May the 8th, 2025. It will be at the Recreation Therapy Topaz Clinic. And the time is from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Then we have item for May the 12th from 9 to 12 a.m. This is from the Arizona Department of the Military Order of the Purple Heart, and they support AMVETS 1, Leaving No Veteran Behind. This will be at 5801 North 99th Avenue in Glendale, and the event is free and open to the public. Registration is not necessary to attend the event. You can browse a wide variety of vendors offering unique goods and services, delicious foods and drinks, savor mouthwatering treats from local food trucks, and live entertainment. Groove to the great tunes all day with music from our DJ. This is the AmVets One Tour Across America, and it runs from the 5th through the 12th, but the date again for Phoenix is May the 12th from 9 to 12. If there's ever been a time that suicide awareness is needed, that time is now. The Arizona Department of the Military Order of the Purple Heart is hosting this event. We invite all members and the public to participate. You can learn more and donate at mophaz.org, mophaz.org/donate. They have a veteran stand down, a wellness and employment fair for veterans and individuals experiencing homelessness. This is going to be on Thursday, May the 29th, 2025, from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Elks Lodge, and that's at 1206 North Beeline Highway in Payson, Arizona, 85541. And join us for a special community event focused on wellness and job opportunities for veterans and those experiencing homelessness. Open to all veterans and individuals who are experiencing homelessness and in need of any of the following resources: job openings, community services, medical services, basic medical and dental services, haircuts, pet services, mental health substance abuse counseling, treatment referrals, legal services, job search and resume assistance, veteran assistance and mobile medical unit, and DOD gear. And the lunch will be served. Interested in offering a service or booth at the event, you can call 928-978-2943 or email rmarkworth, and that's rmarkworth, at azdes.gov. Drugs, alcohol, and guns not permitted. That's the Veterans Stand Down in Payson, Arizona. Just as another reminder, there will be a Veterans Stand Down in Flagstaff, Arizona, and that will be on the 15th of May, and it will be held at the Arizona Veterans Home. That's at 2100 North Gemini Road in Flagstaff. And their phone line is 928-637-0600. I'm sure you could call that number to get information on that May the 15th stand down. That stand down, by the way, starts at 9 o'clock in the morning, runs until 1400, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And maybe I'll see you there. Well, that's all the news we have from the Veterans News Now newsletter from the Phoenix VA healthcare system. We'll turn now to news.va.gov, and we have a number of items, but I wanted to start with this one, which is Veteran Resources Events for the week of April 28th, and it's from the Veterans Experience Office. What you need to do to get the most out of this article is to be able to go to news.va.gov, and you can search for hashtag VetResources, all one word, or Vets Experience, and it will give you a listing of these events. Now, there are no events listed for Arizona, but there are a number of national events, but they all require tapping on a link. And rather than trying to read through all of these links, I would just direct you to news.va.gov, Veteran Resources Events for the week of April 28th. And they're starting on May the 2nd. They have War-Related Illness and Injury Studies Center, the WRIISC Mindfulness Meditation phone-based class. On May the 5th, online, they have Sharing the Journey, an online support group. On May the 6th, there is online, hosted by the VA Center for Faith, VASAVE Suicide Prevention Training. On May the 6th also, we have Caregivers, Your Life and Your Health Matters online. May the 7th, Well-Being You online. And on May the 7th, they have a virtual breast cancer support group. That article is the Veteran Resources Events of the Week, April 28th, 2025. The next item from news.va.gov is essential resources for veteran families with special needs. This is from the 29th of April. Beth Hornberger of the Veterans Experience Office writes, the sharing of any non-VA information does not constitute an endorsement of products and services on the part of the VA. And the usual disclaimer, veterans should verify the information in the organization offering. Okay. Caring for someone with special needs, whether a child, sibling, or other loved one, can be both incredibly rewarding and deeply challenging. Fortunately, there are many resources available that provide support, education, and connection. From early intervention programs to adult services, understanding what's out there can make all the difference. VA programs. Spina Bifida Healthcare Benefits Program. Spina bifida is a spinal cord birth defect that can be caused by a parent's past contact with Agent Orange. If the dependent of a veteran who served in Vietnam, Thailand, or in or near the Korean Demilitarized Zone has spina bifida, the dependent may be eligible for compensation, payments, health care, and job training benefits. Civilian Health and Medical Program of the Department of Veterans Affairs, CHAMP VA, provides health care benefits for a spouse, dependent, or survivor of a veteran who meets certain service-connected disability requirements. If the dependent became permanently unable to support themselves before age 18, a disability rating letter can be submitted for the dependent, sometimes called a helpless child rating. The Camp Lejeune Family Member Program, CLFMP, from August 1, 1953, to December 31, 1987, people living at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, were potentially exposed to contaminated drinking water. VA provides health care to veterans who served on active duty at Camp Lejeune and to reimburse eligible Camp Lejeune family members, CLFM, for eligible health care costs related to specified illnesses or conditions. Children of Women Vietnam Veterans, the CWVV. If a dependent's biological mother served in Vietnam and the dependent has certain birth defects, the dependent may be eligible to get compensation or payments, health care, and job training benefits. Government Programs. Exceptional Family Member Program, the EFMP, provides information, resources, skills, and support to help military families with special needs. Contact Military One Source at 800-342-9647 and ask for a referral to a special need consultant for enrollment information. Expanded Hourly Child Care Options. It offers free access to a national database of more than a million caregivers. Military families residing in the U.S. can find hourly, flexible, and on-demand child care. TRICARE offers several services under the basic TRICARE benefit along with several special programs for beneficiaries with special needs. Dependent Care Flexible Spending Account, the DCFSA. Funds can be used to pay for eligible dependent care services such as preschool, summer day camp, before or after school programs, and child or adult daycare. Supplemental Security Income, SSI, a federal program that provides financial assistance to disabled individuals who are under the age of 18 or over 65. SSI helps pay for living expenses such as food, shelter, and clothing. IRS ABLE accounts. The Achieving a Better Life Experience, or ABLE, Act of 2014 allows states to create tax-advantaged savings programs for eligible people with disabilities, designated beneficiaries. Community Programs and Resources. Easter Seals offers tailored disability and community services that meet the unique needs of families, fostering many aspects of health and well-being. FOCUS, or Families Overcoming Under Stress, provides resilience training to military children, families, and couples. The Military Child Education Coalition Programs, the MCEC, supports all military-connected children, youth, and teens by educating, advocating, and collaborating to resolve education challenges associated with the military lifestyle. MCEC offers programs, initiatives, and resources to both military families and educators. The Shriners Hospitals for Children provide specialized care to children with special health care needs, regardless of the ability to pay. The Council for Exceptional Children, an international professional organization dedicated to improving educational outcomes for individuals with exceptionalities. Resources include publications, a clearinghouse on disabilities, and the Gifted Education Resources and Discussions lists. The National Council on Independent Living, information and resources for people with disabilities and their families regarding independent living. Parent to Parent USA, peer support from trained parents of children with disabilities. This list is not all-encompassing. Additional resources are available depending on your specific needs or circumstances. For additional resources, you can check with your State Department of Veterans Services to find resources available in your area and visit the National Resource Directory, the NRD, and that's simply at nrd.gov. Navigating the complex landscape of special needs resources can be overwhelming, but with the right information and support, families and caregivers can ensure their loved ones receive additional care and support. By staying informed and connected, we can work together to build a more supportive community for individuals with special needs. And that's Essential Resources for Veteran Families with Special Needs, an article from news.va.gov. You've been listening to Weekly Reveille here on Sun Sounds of Arizona with your volunteer reader, Chuck Kaufman. Thank you for joining me for this May 1st edition of Weekly Reveille. And remember, you can listen to Weekly Reveille and other Sun Sounds of Arizona programming at a time of your choosing or as it streams by going to the Sun Sounds of Arizona website at sunsounds.org or downloading the Sun Sounds of Arizona app for your iPhone or iPad from the Apple App Store or your Android phone or tablet from the Google Play Store. And finally, you can listen to Sun Sounds of Arizona streaming on your Amazon Dot or Echo.